Get ready to find your recipe for success from America's top business owners here at Onward Nation with your host, Stephen Wessner.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Wessner, and welcome to episode 503 of Onward Nation, where 5 days a week I interview one of today's top business owners so we can learn their recipe for success, how they built and scaled their business. In fact, our 12 Success Strategies ebook is a compilation of the best business building advice shared by our guests. Just text the word ONWARD to the number 66866. Again, text the word ONWARD to the number 66866, and we will send it right to your inbox. Now let's welcome today's guest, Ron Kaminsky. For more than a decade, Ron has helped organizations and leaders build high-performance teams, specializing in workplace culture, change management, and team development. Ron excels at helping companies engage their employees to grow and to thrive. Ron has worked with organizations like Bank of America, Siemens, Ingersoll Rand, Charles Schwab, the U.S. Army, and dozens of small businesses. His style and practical solutions have also made him a trusted advisor to many mid-sized CEOs who seek better engagement and how to leverage their people. Welcome to Onward Nation, Ron.
Thanks, Stephen. Happy to be here.
Well, I am happy that you're here. I know how compressed your schedule is. I am grateful that you would take time out of that compression to come onto the show to share your insights and experience and wisdom with Onward Nation. But even with that impressive bio and in those impressive companies that you've had the honor to work with, it is still just a very, very thin slice, Ron, into who you are as a business owner, a thought leader. So take us behind the green curtain. Tell us more about you and your journey and path, and then we'll dive in with the questions.
Sure. Happy to. I started my business back in 2003. And when I did that, you know, we were, partner and I, we were just two guys with a ropes course, playing in the trees and trying to turn something into a business that, you know, we didn't know. We were kind of doing it part time. And then we kind of quickly realized that, you know, there's something here. We started off as a team building company, the whole kumbaya trust fall type stuff. And, you know, that just didn't feel like me. It didn't feel like us. And you know, it slowly morphed into a client-driven, organic growth type of a business. And so, you know, I cut my teeth right around Y2K before starting the business on implementing ERP systems for mid-sized manufacturing companies. Super exciting, I know. But you know, the world, if you remember, the world was going to end back in 2000 if you didn't implement a new software system. And so my experience there, I got to see all these implementation teams thrown together in haste with no mission, no vision, very undefined roles and responsibilities, milestones, what does success look like, et cetera. You can go on and on. And what I realized is that these implementations that were struggling because of that. It wasn't a software issue. It was a people issue. And so it really kind of opened my eyes to the fact that I wasn't all that passionate at all about the software side, but I was really passionate about the people side. And so that's what kind of led me down this path to starting this business. And quite honestly, I graduated from a small Jesuit university here in Cleveland, John Carroll, and with a marketing degree. So it's not like I had a background in this. So we started this business in 2003, and I think in the first 6 months we hit about $13,000 in revenue. That was not, you know, it's kind of starting to wonder what we did here. Year two, 76,000, and then we started to realize that, hey, we're kind of going down two paths. So I had a partnership issue. My partner was a school teacher at the time, and we just didn't have the same vision for growing the business. And he actually ended up taking over his family's nonprofit, which allowed us an opportunity to exit him, and I bought him out. And then I kind of, that's when it really kind of started to become my own. And what we morphed into pretty quickly at the request of the clients was, hey, you've been helping us with team development. What about some leadership development? What about some more culture development? And so every iteration of our business has really been driven by the requests of our clients. And so, you know, it's 2017 today, so almost 14 years in business. And what I've come to realize is that, you know, we haven't really strayed all that much from the roots. You know, companies need three things. They need, in my opinion, they need to align really well around a common vision and get everyone laser focused on that vision. They've got to get traction against that vision and have an environment of high trust and accountability. And they've got to be healthy as a team in order to do that. And starting with the leadership team, that's our primary focus, but we also get involved in, you know, departmental teams, cross-functional teams, et cetera. So every iteration of the business has led us here, and it's almost like it's become, you know, it's full circle. So, you know, when I look back on it, I never set out to do this, but at the same time, I feel it's kind of what I was put here to do. And that, I think that's the most satisfying part, is because I feel like I'm one of the blessed people that actually gets to do what they love, absolutely love to do. And I don't think that happens for everybody. And I think that's a shame. So part of what we like to do when we're in these organizations is really help people uncover what that is for them and align their passion to the organization's passion. And I feel honored to be in that position. So that's kind of the business side. Personal side, I have two amazing kids from a previous marriage, 11-year-old daughter, 13-year-old son. They're rock stars. Have an incredible girlfriend right now, Leanne, and she has a 13-year-old daughter as well. And we're starting to kind of blend those two families, and that's pretty exciting. So that's kind of where, that's kind of current state today. I've been involved in an organization called Entrepreneurs Organization, or EO, for the last 8 years. Had a couple board positions there, local, regional, and then global, committee level. And that has really been one of the best business decisions I've ever made. Having a peer group to bounce ideas off of, the great stuff, the terrible stuff, and everything in between that that other business owners face. So, you know, I think if I really look back, EO has been a massive influence on my life. You know, and if I look back even further, my biggest influences were growing up playing sports. I was a football player, wrestler, started playing rugby in college. So, you know, I think those, that competitive nature fits well with entrepreneurship. And I think that kind of best of my ability can sum it up.
Well, you've given us some great insights into you as a person, your background, what led you up to this point. And we're going to slice that apart as we go through the conversation. But first, Onward Nation, you know, Ron has mentioned EO, Entrepreneurs Organization. If you want to learn more about EO, go back to episode 205 of Onward Nation, because we had the privilege and honor of having Vern Harnish here, the founder of EO, as one of our guests. And that was just a fantastic conversation. So, you know, no doubt it has created a lot of impact for you, Ron, because EO is just, as you well know, a stellar organization. But what I find just fascinating, what I love here, is that just so early on in the business, you really identified. Now, obviously, that created a shift then in the partnership. But you identified how this people issue, that it wasn't a software issue, that it was the people issue, that that's really where your passion was. And let me give these three ingredients back to you, because I want to make sure that I got these correct in my notes. When you mentioned there are really three things that a company has to have in order to essentially be successful, I think I heard you say the first one being align around a common vision.
Yep.
Second one is you have to get then traction against that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third being you have to be healthy as a team, you know, a leadership team, overall team, in order to be able to do one and two. Is that fair? Did I get those three?
You got it. You know, my experience has been, and what I share with you is what we call vision, traction, healthy. And part of what our business is currently is, I'm a certified EOS implementer. And I don't know if you're familiar with Gene Wickman.
Very.
Wrote the book Traction. And so when, you know, we came to EOS, not as a facilitator of it, we came to it as a user of it. You know, I implemented it in our business. Between EOS and between EO, those two organizations have absolutely changed my life, and for the better. Incredible impact. And so when we talk about vision, traction, healthy, alignment to a common vision, I think everyone understands that concept. Traction to a vision, you know, before we came to EOS, and EOS, we didn't really come to EOS until about 2011. And before that, our clients would approach us and say, you know, we love how you run meetings for us, these offsite retreats, events, et cetera. Can you help us with strategic planning? And our answer was, sure, what process are you using? We'll do our best to educate around that and then to add value in the room. And we did. I think we did a pretty decent job. And I think these organizations actually did a pretty decent job with aligning around a vision. Very few of them actually got traction against that vision. So, you know, it would sit in this pretty binder and collect dust on the shelf for 11 months before you had to look at it and see if we actually did anything. And so I think everyone has great intentions there. And I think what prevents traction is the health of a team, the ability for a leadership team specifically to be open and honest with each other and to really kind of air the dirty laundry without egos and without agendas. And if we can get them really healthy, then they're going to, how we put it is charge into storm. So, you know, at Culture Shock, we have a mascot, the buffalo, and we also, it's our first core value is to be a buffalo. And, you know, the story goes that buffaloes as a herd charge into storms, knowing that they're going to see blue skies faster. And cows as herds, you know, they run from weather, essentially guaranteeing they're going to spend more time in pain. And so what we like to think we do is we help clients identify those storms and charge into those. What are their biggest issues that they're kicking the can down the road on, whether they're people issues or process or not taking advantage of opportunities? What are we putting off that we know we need to address in order to be our best? And I think EOS as an operating system really helps clients do that. And it absolutely fits in with our Buffalo core value and kind of the roots of the business when I started it in 03. So yeah, absolutely. Those are the cornerstones.
In Onward Nation, if you'd like to learn more about Traction as a book, and Ron was talking about Gino Wickman, fantastic book. In fact, Ron, I'm looking at it on my bookshelf right now. I'm a student of EOS and Traction as well. I mean, it's phenomenal. So Onward Nation, you can go to onwardnation.com/book and get the Audible version of Traction for free. So again, it's onwardnation.com/book. And the Audible version of Traction for free. But Ron, I wholeheartedly agree with you. It is great. It is rigorous, but the discipline, the operational discipline, both for a leadership team and for the business overall is phenomenal. It's off the charts. It's fantastic.
It's unbelievable. You know, we eat our own dog food. So actually, yesterday we had our company's quarterly pulse meeting.
Oh, sure. And,
you know, the alignment that we get coming out of there is just unreal. And you know, the reason why we meet every quarter is because that's when organizations and people and teams start to fray and lose focus. And, you know, I jumped out of bed this morning and it's just awesome. I can't say enough about it and what it's done for me. And, you know, I feel honored and humbled to be a part of it, and no matter how small.
Well, I can see that you and I are going to need to do an encore already.
Let's do
where we go really, really deep into traction. And, you know, it was wonderful to be able to have Mark Winters, the author of Rocket Fuel, is a guest on our show. And we talked a lot about, you know, visionary and integrator and so forth. But, you know, it'd be wonderful to be able to have you back and take a deep dive into EOS, because it is, you know, it is just so phenomenal. But
let's do it. You name the day.
All right, my friend. Well, let's dive into this first section that I like to call focus in preparation. Preparation, because it's so true that greatness is available to all of us if we're willing to do the common things uncommonly well, which is a powerful lesson that I learned from one of my mentors, Don Yeager. So, Ron, start us off with, if you want to call it a secret, maybe you prefer to call it a time-saving technique, is there something you can share with us that helps you focus and prepare to tackle your most vital priorities each day?
Yeah, sure. So I do two things most mornings, and I can tell you that when I don't do it, I feel it. It has a negative impact on my day. First is meditation, and second is prayer. And, you know, I use the Headspace app for my guided meditation. And then in prayer, I just have a prayer manual that essentially helps me get through the Bible once a year. And for me, that, you know, it just helps me start the day from a position of gratitude. And when I do that, the day just tends to fall into place better. It doesn't happen every morning, but I say what happened most mornings. And then the other thing I do is, you know, Leanne got me this standing desk, and I never would have thought that this would be such a time saver, but I kid you not, I get so much more done. In fact, I'm standing at it right now. I get so much more done at this standing desk than I ever did in a chair. And I get the fact that it's, you know, healthier for you and all that stuff. But quite honestly, the productivity gains from this have been incredible. And I have one. I'm standing in my home office right now, and I don't have one in my office yet, but that's coming soon. But I don't know if I'd call it a secret, but I'm sure it's out there. But it's been awesome for me.
Well, that's okay. So let's kind of slice that apart for just a second.
Sure.
So why do you think that? So I've never used a standing desk. I've never experimented with that. But I'm intrigued by this. Why do you think that that has impacted your productivity as much as it has?
I keep trying to figure it out. Some people say it's posture. You know, your posture. You know, different types of energy. I tend to think better on my feet anyways. I'm better in front of a whiteboard standing, thinking, as opposed to sitting down and typing, talking. Maybe this is why I kind of enjoy doing the podcast, is because I could just get to talk through my thoughts as opposed to try and document them. But for whatever reason, you can't stand all day. So, if I want to get my stuff done and I'm standing up, I don't know. I just move faster and things seem to come easier doing this. I can't explain it, but it's just true for me.
I'd love to try it. You're intriguing me, like I said, and I would like to experiment with it. And, you know, a standing desk I could probably handle, but when I see, you know, like the treadmill desk, I'm like, how does somebody do that without right. just... There's no way I could do that.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. But more power to him. Hey.
Yeah, and you know, a friend of mine has one, loves it, and he's super productive, swears by it. But I know I'd slip right off the back end of that thing, and I'd be in the hospital. So
right.
Well, so let's take this momentum and move it into into daily habits. Do you have a habit or two, Ron, that you strongly believe have contributed to your success?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that happens inside of EOS is that we just have these weekly to-dos, and I get those sent to me every single day until they're done. And I think what it allows me to do is to focus on not the 50 things that are important, but the 2 to 3 that I've got to get done in the day. And anytime I'm feeling overwhelmed, I can just go back to that list of my to-dos for the week and break it down into chunks that are manageable in that day. So those to-dos, which are 7-day to-dos, but if you don't break them down, you end up trying to do all those in the last couple hours before they're due in the next week, and it just doesn't work. You know, the other thing, I don't know if you've ever heard of the 5-minute journal, but it's something that allows you to document some gratitudes in the morning, and then also in the evening, right before you hit the bed, about what really went well that day and to reflect on that. And I find that when I can stay in that space of gratitude, no matter what's going on personally, professionally, et cetera, it just puts things into perspective. And so, if whatever the practice is around gratitude for someone, I think that's a habit that pays huge dividends personally and professionally.
I like that. And, you know, so what I'm seeing is a real consistency here, going back to even just the name of your service offering. I think you called it Vision Traction Healthy, right? Yeah. And with the way that you focus on your vital priorities and the way that you're having the consistency with your meetings and this discipline and how you're structuring the to-dos, all of that seems like in complete alignment with Vision Traction Healthy, right?
It is. And I think that's, you know, I get to kind of live authentically because we eat our own dog food, and we're not out there touting things that we think are good, but we're not doing them ourselves. And I think that gives me peace of mind.
Yeah. Doesn't that just drive you crazy? Where, I mean, there's so many people out there schlepping info stuff or, you know, hire me for this, but they've never built a core business around that. Whereas you guys, you like using your expression, eat your own dog food. I mean, mm-hmm. like you guys are building a thriving business around these principles, and you're helping clients with these principles. But like, that's big time credibility, right?
Yeah. It honestly feels great. And you know, you probably heard the saying, it's, you know, it's really hard to sell something you don't believe in. I don't feel like we have to sell what we do. People just believe it because of the passion that we exude around it, which puts us in a position where we actually don't have to sell. So I feel really honored to be in that place, because I don't think that happens all the time. So I feel really blessed to be where we're at. And that authenticity for me, I think, not just for me, but for our team, I think it allows them just to be comfortable in their own skin and to speak from experiences as opposed to theory. So, and I, quite honestly, you know, we've been having a lot of success in our marketplace because what we help companies implement is more practical, and it's experience based as opposed to theory or academic. And I think there's nothing wrong with academics. You know, I think there's a lot of value there. But the entrepreneurs we're working with in their teams, they want things that are working now. How do we implement these things now and have impact now? Theory is great, but how do we put that into action?
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, all of the business owners, the CEOs, the C-suites, as you just mentioned. But then I think about, okay, you know, here's a guy, Ron, who's been in front of the U.S. Army. Can't imagine theory plays out too well.
Yeah. You know, that was the most humbling experience I've had professionally, bar none. And you know, to be working with officers in the U.S. Army around leadership. And to, you know, I've never been so horrified to walk into a session thinking, what the heck can I teach these guys about leadership? And then, you know, that was about 4 years ago when I was working with them. And I walked into that room and was blown away because I thought I was going to be working with these, you know, middle-aged, you know, hardened officers. And these were kids. These were 22, 23-year-old young men and women that were literally either in school or just out of college, and that have come back from being downrange and in the fight. And some of them still with shrapnel and wounds, and they'd lost people. And it just blew me away. And the feedback we got from our sessions was just overwhelming, because they were so grateful for it. But gosh, it's just, that was a real honor to be a part of that.
Boy, I can hear the passion in your voice as you're describing that experience. And I can only imagine what that must have felt like for you. And you know, I use it as a metaphor often, you know, in the trenches. And that's exactly what you were doing with those brave men and women, and right, giving them those lessons. And wow, thanks for sharing that. That's an awesome story.
Sure. Yeah. My pleasure.
So you've started us off, as I said, with some great momentum. And so now it's going to feel a little bit weird and maybe a bit abrupt, because I want to flip this now and go 180 degrees in the opposite direction and ask you, Ron, to share with us that challenging time, that situation that could have devastated, maybe even ruined your business, but you persisted by making the tough decisions. So now that once painful memory serves more as an invaluable learning experience. Tell us that story, Ron.
Sure. Yeah. You know, early in my career, I had a partnership that, you know, we had to go our own ways. We're still on really good terms. And that was back in 03, 04. You know, and later in my career, I formed another partnership. I founded four businesses, and I like to say that, you know, two of them still give me life, but two of them really had sucked the life out of me. And I think those two, it wasn't anyone's fault. It was no one's intention. But what I realized was, you know, I might have done the partnership piece for the wrong reason. And I think it came from a position of a lack of confidence for whatever reason. And so I'll never forget, it was, you know, in 08, 09, everyone that had that huge consolidation. And after that consolidation, I was a little gun shy. And quite honestly, I was on the brink of kind of shutting the doors. And we had lost a client that was about 60% of our business, and shame on me, we weren't diversified. But I think a lot of people were impacted at that time. But on the heels of that, even into the recovery, I was just taking these baby steps, and I wasn't all in. And I felt like I just needed this buffer and a partnership. And I think, you know, entering that partnership, I think for some of the wrong reasons, that's on me. And realizing that pretty quickly that I had made the wrong decision. And what I realized in that partnership was, you know, I had a great relationship with my partner, but at the same time, we were both visionaries. We were both idea people. We both you know, had that vision. Unfortunately, they weren't aligned. And then it started implementing EOS. And what I realized was, wow, we have two visionaries in this business and no integrator. It's just chaos for me. And I'm sure for others. And so having to kind of make the tough decision to pull, so we had a merger, an acquisition, a merger. We put these two businesses together, and pulling those apart was the right thing to do, but it was so painful. It, you know, because we had some, you know, great relationship in there. And, you know, thank God we were able to salvage the relationship. And now we have two thriving businesses, but it really was a, and on my part, I believe a lack of confidence that, that made me feel like I needed that. And ever since I've, you know, we've pulled that back out and at the end of 13, it's just been hockey stick growth for us. And I'd say, you know, the best decision I ever made was getting myself out of that day-to-day integrator role and delegating that to someone in my organization that has the unique ability to do that. For whatever reason, I felt I needed to be the integrator for, I don't know, ego standpoint, or I just should be because I own the company. But at once I delegated that role, it has just been like a rocket ship for us. And it's felt so good because I wasn't trying to force something that wasn't me. So, yeah, I'll be honest with you. There were a few days, more than a few days, that, you know, I was ready to just shut it down and accept a couple. I had two clients with very lucrative offers on the table to go join them. And something made me go attend this meeting. And it just so happened to be my first ever EO meeting. And I sat in that meeting and shared open and honest and just got naked really fast with everything that was going on. And as soon as I realized that there's actually people out there like me dealing with the same issues, you just can't talk to your spouse or your friends that don't own businesses or your employees about some of these issues. And once I found that peer group, I realized, you know, I'm not the only one going through this. And so it gave me the strength to kind of realize, hey, you know, you got this. It's going to take a ton of work, but you got this. So that whole transition, the recession on top of that partnership, I would say that was kind of that was probably the biggest challenge in the last decade for sure.
Before we move on in our conversation, and granted, when you come back for your encore, we're going to dig really deep into EOS, but I want to make sure that we just take a minute to define the role of integrator in case that's a new term for any of our Onward Nation listeners. So give us just a 30-second view of, in your mind, what the integrator does and why that person is important to a company.
Yeah. So the integrator is day-to-day integrating the business. How do all the functions in the business have what they need to do their jobs well, working well together, and just the day-to-day in the trenches leadership of the business. Whereas the visionaries, much more on emotion, they tend to be like the culture, the voice of the business, the face of the business. They got 20 ideas just like me before breakfast, and 19 of them we shouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, but that one idea is going to grow us by 200%. But the integrator essentially acts as a filter for that visionary. And so those are two very different types of personalities and unique abilities that those roles require. And so when I thought I had to be both of those for my company, I was just, you know, I was schizophrenic, essentially. So that wasn't working. And so I don't know if that helps with the visionary integrator definition.
It definitely does. And in Onward Nation, I would highly recommend Rocket Fuel, because by Mark Winters is a book, because Mark does an exceptional job of really going deep into the VI relationship, the visionary integrator relationship. And that you could also get free from Audible. So if you go to onwardnation.com/book, you could also get the Audible version of Rocket Fuel for free.
So
So, it's a fantastic book. In fact, I was traveling with my integrator from Predictive ROI, Eric Jensen, who is my business partner within Predictive, and he and I were traveling earlier this week. And as we were driving, we were listening to Rocket Fuel, and just trying to get better in our VI relationship as well. And it's just an exceptional book. So thank you for taking that piece deeper.
Sure.
Tell us about the most influential lesson that you ever learned from one of your mentors, and then how that lesson, Ron, helped you become the business owner you are today.
So, you know, I was thinking about this, and, you know, the biggest lesson I've ever gotten from a mentor was that no success at work was worth a loss at home. And, I burnt through a marriage trying to get a business off the ground. And I'm in an incredible relationship right now with soulmate, all that good stuff. But having had that experience and even, you know, my mentor was an incredibly successful person but he was so well balanced in the home that it, you know, when we were talking about things, he could see me getting tunnel vision around the business and, you know, how's this going to impact the family and how's that. So, I believe, you know, lesson learned. It was a tough lesson to learn for myself, for the kids, et cetera, but in a much better place now that, you know, if things aren't right at home, if you're not paying attention to those relationships, then anything happening in the work is going to be less productive and it's not going to have any meaning in the long term. I mean, we're here for relationships, right? And you only get one chance to raise kids and you only get one chance, at this life. So that was probably my biggest lesson learned. Might not be what you were looking for, but
I think it's excellent for a couple of reasons. One, you mentioned authenticity a few minutes ago, and clearly that's what you just gave us is really in full transparency your authentic feeling around that topic, and something that means a lot to you clearly. So I think that's excellent. And you know what? Everybody's answer tends to be different. Because you know, the lessons impact, the same lesson can impact two different people in two different ways. Sure. So I appreciate you sharing that. And so before I ask you my last question, because I know that we're quickly running out of time.
Sure.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for accepting my invitation. I'm so grateful that our mutual friend Dave Mamano was kind enough to make the introduction so that we can have this conversation. And in you accepting the invitation, coming on the show, being that authentic, mindful, transparent, grateful business owner, leader that you are, and sharing your insights and wisdom that you've collected over decades of experience, I'm grateful that we have this opportunity. Thank you, Ron.
Well, thank you, Stephen. And I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like I'm worthy of this, but I feel honored to even be asked the questions, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm, you know, my guess is I probably feel like most other entrepreneurs out there, someone's doing it better, faster, stronger than you. And so why do people want to hear from you? You know,
there's always a bigger fish.
Sure.
But there's always an opportunity to learn.
Yep.
And as soon as we start thinking that we have it by the tail and that we know it all, here comes failure to give us a little bit of humble pie.
Right. That's for sure.
So here's my last question for you. And again, just thank you, Ron. So imagine you're standing in front of a room of brand new business owners, people just like you when you were starting out. So they're battling their way through. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe they're just struggling to try and find their footing. What would be two or three strategies you would recommend that they focus on to best ensure success?
Oh, no pressure, right? So, so I would say it's a lesson I learned almost too late. And that is, you have to find a peer group. I don't care if it's EO or Vistage or whatever it is, but you've got to find a peer group because there's going to be those lonely, just life sucking days. And you're going to wonder why you're doing it. And, you know, I think the other piece is you've got to have a compelling vision that is authentic to you, or you're not going to have the stamina to work through those tough days. And then I would say last is, when I first started off, I thought I needed to clone myself. And what I really needed to do now that I realize is I needed to find compliments to me. I wish I had known that sooner. And I would say the last strategy is, you know, you need to find a way fast to delegate and elevate. Get the $10 an hour type stuff off of your plate as fast as you can. Get an assistant, even if it's part-time, even if it's virtual, I don't care, but get those things off of your plate so you can focus on the big $1,000 an hour, $10,000 an hour type of opportunities. I think you need, so I gave you more than two or three. How's that?
It's added value. That is fantastic. But the delegate and elevate, I mean, that's hard. It's hard at the beginning because we make it hard. It's actually not hard, but we make it hard, right?
Right. We do. And quite honestly, there's pride in bootstrapping it and doing everything. And, you know, and I see all these startups like in that bootstrapping mode. Well, I got this and I'm wearing all these hats. But until you kind of start to give those hats to people that actually have the unique ability to do those other tasks so you can focus on what you're great at, is really hard to get that scale. So,
well, I cannot wait for us to have an encore and to have you back so we can take a deep dive into EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System. But before we go, before we close out and say goodbye for today, tell us the best way to connect with you, my friend.
Sure. So best way to get in touch with me is via email, ron@cultureshock.com. And that's S-H-O-C. There's no K at the end of that. So would love to hear from you. And we've got a rule in our business that if we don't respond to you within 2 hours, we owe you a cup of coffee. So wow. I've been giving out a lot of coffee lately, actually.
Well, that's also an opportunity to take relationships deeper. And so that's not a bad trade-off.
There you go.
Ron, we all have the same 86,400 seconds in a day, and I am grateful again that you would take the time, come onto the show to be our mentor and guide and help us level up, help us move our businesses onward to that next level. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Stephen. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
This episode is complete, so head over to OnwardNation.com for show notes and more food to fuel your ambition. Continue to find your recipe for success here at Onward Nation.